share the Word of God with you this morning. Pastor Bunn was mentioning earlier that he didn't think he had done so much as to prepare me to be a preacher. And I was telling him that it wasn't just the classes or the material that he gave to me that helped me, but it was watching him be a pastor, be a preacher. That had a powerful impact in my life. And people did ask me down there, where do you learn? Where do you go to? Bible college, institute, etc. Tell my pastor trained me. And I know that he's always going to say that he didn't do much. But the opportunity to watch him not just preach, not just stand up here in the pulpit, but live his life in a godly manner, uncompromising manner, and bold to preach the truth despite the opposition or despite whoever might get offended about it, that had a powerful impact in me. And I thank you for that, Pastor Bond. All the mistakes and the things that I still need to learn are obviously my fault, but I thank God for the blessing that was to have Pastor Bond as one of the main influences in the way I develop messages and preach and witness and proclaim the Word of God. And I still certainly have a lot to learn, and I beg for your patience, and I beg for your listening ears as we study the next few minutes the Word of God. Thank you again for your love and your support for me and my family as we went to do ministry in Guatemala. Very well, please go in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. I want to talk to you today about a key or a secret. I didn't want to call it a secret because it's plain in the scriptures, but it is a key that opens something, a key that it would be good for us to know or to remember about how to build upon a solid foundation. Building upon a solid foundation. And it's a quick, brief study on this section of the on this portion of the scripture. And starting on verse 21, building upon a solid foundation. Matthew 7:21 says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and it was, and great was the fall of it. In verse 28, and it came to pass when Jesus has ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we are thankful for everything you do. Thank you for this wonderful church. For all the people that have come to hear your word preach. I acknowledge my inadequacy and deficiencies. And that's why I plead the blood of Christ. And I plead for to be hidden behind his cross. And I come in the faith that you can speak through anyone who relies on the Spirit of God to speak. I pray, Lord, that it will be your Spirit that will convince us, that will do the work in our hearts. And be you, pray that you'll be in control, Holy Spirit, of this time. And may you be honored where everything is said and done. For your name's sake, for your glory, and for the edifying of the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Every one of us, every person, wants to build something that will last for a long time, that will withstand the pass of time, the problems, the difficulties, and at the end be standing strong. None of us want to work and work and work and work our whole lives just to find out at the end of it that it's all been for nothing. Few things are as discouraging as the thought that we will find ourselves in the end of our race and look back and realize that everything we've ever worked for was for nothing. And somebody else will enjoy the rewards of our work. And that somebody, a wicked person, will be the one that actually gets to enjoy the work that we've tried so hard to do. Let me give you an example. We are raising kids in this church pretty much full time. It's funny that the minute we got here for the first time in the auditorium, there are a bunch of kids right there in the middle. And Brother Derek walks in and he's like, "Goodness gracious, that's just three families?" That's a lot of kids everywhere. A lot of our time in this church of our parents is going to be invested in those kids. None of us want to get to the end of our lives and realize that that kid that we've invested so much work in and that we've put our effort and protection and invested in them will get lost in some way or another. None of us want to build a house and realize that it was all along, it was a faulty plan. It was a faulty project. It was a faulty foundation. It was badly planned. And it's funny because we saw a lot of this kind of stuff in Guatemala. Houses that don't go, doors that don't go anywhere, you just find another wall in front of it because it was badly planned. And houses that are falling apart or sinking in the ground just because somebody didn't take the time to build a lasting foundation. And this verse, this passage here tells us about two men. And I want to make it a little easier for the kids to... whenever I go grab something, I can see all the heads go like that. nothing too interesting, but these are some mystery boxes. Put one right here. Put another one right here. I'm not going to tell you what the letters there mean quite yet, but I wanted to get some of the kids' attention first. They won't stay there. But anyway, these are not boxes, okay? These are building blocks. What are they, kids? What are they, kids? Building blocks, okay? You know, like masonry. You build something with them, and then there's a house, right? Okay. And so that's what I want to talk to you today is how to build a lasting foundation or a lasting edifice or a lasting building. We see in our text here in verse 21, in verse 23, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever these heareth these sayings of mine," and we're going to go a little bit into detail of what those sayings are, because that's the key of the passage. Whoever hears the sayings of Jesus that he just spoke about, and whoever does them, Jesus himself will liken him to a man. And I want us to notice the word a man. First off, we need to understand that Jesus is not going to liken the wise man to the house. He's going to liken him to the man that builds. Whoever is wise and listens to Jesus is like a man. Not like a house, but like a man. That builds his house in two different options, two different ways. One of them build them upon the rock, and one of them build them upon the sand. Not talking about a profession of faith. He made that very clearly in the passages before that. Not everyone that says, "Lord, Lord," in verse 21, "shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But he's talking about the professing Christian, or the person that makes a profession of faith. And not only that, but does what Jesus says, then he is going to be likened or compared to a wise man that built his house upon a rock. Another thing to notice here is at the end of his sermon, this is the end of the Sermon of the Mount. The people, after Jesus said these things, they were amazed. They were so astonished that he was not like everybody else. Whenever Jesus spoke, he was concise. He was speaking with authority. He was not beating around the bush. He was telling the things as they are, with authority. There was no doubt in his mind, and there was no doubt in the hearers' minds that this was the absolute truth. This was the authority from heaven that was speaking. Many people think that they are building long-lasting house, but will come to the sad realization that it was nothing valuable. Nothing worth building. It was all imaginary. The reason I want to talk about this is because we did a lot of work recently when we went to Guatemala. I mean, we were spending nights and days teaching, preaching, if not counseling, if not helping, if not building something. So we were active in doing stuff. No, my biggest concern is not how much I did, but how much is going to last. Not everything that we build and that we do, no matter how much we try, not everything will stand the winds of time, the storms of life, and the eternity. Not all of it. And that is a scary thought. I don't know about you, but I want whatever I do for the Lord to have lasting benefits. Not just for me, my family, but for whoever we are ministering to. I don't want to leave the mission field worrying that whatever I did, it ended when I left. How is it that I can build a lasting foundation, a lasting building? I don't want to spend my life, and I'm sure you don't either, building upon a faulty piece of land. So I have two boxes here. Two bricks, I'm sorry. And they say S-U-B. That stands for single-use brick. Stands for single-use brick. First thing we need to understand is that the way this works, the way it plays out, is that the works that we do go one way or another, and not both. Jesus put it this way: you cannot serve God and riches. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve God and yourself. Whatever you do is going to go one way or the other, into a bad foundation or a good foundation. And you cannot go back and reuse that same brick, because they are single-use bricks. Hebrews 11:24, you don't have to go there, but listen. By faith, Moses is going to tell us something that Moses did by faith when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, he was given in a silver plate. Silver plate? Is that a saying? It was granted to him. He was born into the royalty. And he chose to despise that brick and not build it on that. That was very easy to do. But he grabbed it and instead he put it somewhere else. He understood the value of this single-use bricks. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We must carefully and prayerfully consider that if we are obtaining a material gain, now watch this, out of our good works, it's very likely that we've already obtained our reward. Let me say that again. We must consider that if we are obtaining something, some sort of gain, material gain, out of our good works for God, we very likely already received our reward. Verse 26 of Hebrews 11 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And so Moses refuses to build upon a sandy soil, but chooses to build the hard way on rock solid foundation of afflictions and identify himself with the sufferings of his Lord. And Hebrews 11:13 says, this big cloud, thick cloud of faithful witnesses, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a better country. So you cannot serve God and riches. The first step in building upon a solid ground would be to despise or to reject any possibility of benefiting materially of the work for the Lord. Understanding that these two things don't match. You cannot serve God. You cannot call it that you're going to use this brick over here and over here. They're single use. These bricks are very zealous and will only stay one or other place. You cannot serve God and men. Jesus made this very clear in the Sermon on the Mount. We must carefully and prayerfully consider if we are constantly praised, well, listen to me, and thanked for our good works, that maybe we've already received our reward. If we are seen like the good guys constantly in praise, say, you're wonderful. You're such a good person because you did so and so. Oh, thank you very much. You very likely are reaping right then and there the benefits of your work. And your bricks are already used up. And that's the end of that. There's no more rewards in heaven if you've already been rewarded here on earth. Matthew 6:1, a chapter before, also part of the chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward." No less reward, but no reward of your Father which is in heaven. And that's what we are aiming for. A Father that smiles down and says, this son of mine is doing the right thing. I'm well pleased in this man. This doesn't seek the earthly praise or the earthly benefits, but trusts me that I am faithful to reward him. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. As puny as it is, they have it. And it just spoiled their heavenly reward. Number two, you cannot serve God and men. Whenever you receive the praise, the benefits and the reward from your fellow man, you're done. You're paid off. You've already been rewarded. And thirdly, you cannot serve God and yourself. Matthew 5, also part of the Sermon on the Mount, kind of all building toward this this monumental illustration of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the sandy and the rocky builders. But in Matthew 5:38 says, "Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have it, thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away." Now, I want you to see that in here as well. Jesus leaves no room for personal comfort. Jesus is very clear here that if you are going to follow Jesus, you're not to resist evil. You're smitten in one cheek. You're not only supposed to go away, but to turn the other cheek, welcoming the oppressor and the aggressor. If you're sued, go and give him whatever he asks for, and then go one more step. They ask you, go a mile, go two. If you want to serve God, there's no room for self. And let me tell you something, if you have any regard and any self left in you when you are serving the Lord, you'll spoil your reward. Your bricks have been used. You cannot serve God and man. You cannot serve God and yourself. It's one thing or the other. That's what I'm getting at. If you want to build upon a solid foundation, then a lasting and everlasting results and benefits for your work, you have to do it God's way. And God's way is God first, and God second, and God only. And it brings up some problems for us, because none of us want to be left behind. I mean, I believe that I have to constantly fight my desire to be rewarded for my work. I mean, at least I want people to be thankful for all the good things that I do when I am. I want to get some kind of, see some kind of fruit to my account. See something. Whenever I see something, whenever I think about something, I just lost my reward. That's what I want you to understand today. Now, these bricks are just one time. That's it. You're either going to put it on a sandy surface or a solid rock. Now, Jesus talks about three things, three tests that will hit against your building hard throughout your life. Three elements. He talks about rains, floods, and winds. Each one of these has its peculiar hardships. Maybe your house will stand the rain, but it won't stand the floods. Or it will stand the rain and floods, but it won't stand the winds. You want to, at the end of your life, a house that I put a application on each one, three of them, because I thought about, what is rain like? Well, we're very familiar with that here, aren't we? I mean, we saw 3 days of rain where we were in Wewe, but here it's like constant. So we know about the pains of rain, right? We know about that. Just unfortunate amount of rain. Rain is like time. It's constant. It produces leaks and a faulty. It will make the most patient man burst into tears. Maybe you'll be fine. You bring some buckets. You do something about the leaks in your ceiling. But after 3 months, you just want to be done with it. I'm tired of this rain. How about some sun? In fact, Proverbs compares the contentious woman with a leaky roof, with that rain. It's just there all the time. This woman that is always complaining and complaining about it, and even the most patient man will come to the end of his rope and say, that is enough, I can't handle it anymore. She's there all the time and she's always nagging me. And so the writer of Proverbs says a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. So rain has this peculiarity that it just keeps coming. So rain is like time. Let me tell you, time is a very good test of everyone's works. Some kids of ours right now might look very, very, very righteous. They're sitting at the church pew very straight and looking forward and saying all the right things, lifting their arm or their hand at the right time. But will our work withstand the pass of time, the constant dropping of rain? How's the roof of your building? Is it leaky? Is in a few years it's taking to just collapse like our tent there in Guatemala? Are you building upon a solid foundation? Whosoever hideth her, hideth the wind, continues that. Proverbs 27:15, if you're taking notes. And the ointment of his right hand, which rewrayeth itself. Matthew 7:18. Well, going back to this chapter where we started, a good tree, says the Lord Jesus Christ, towards the end of his sermon, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. There's a peculiarity about fruit. It takes time to come. If you plant it today, it's not going to be there tomorrow. It's not going to be even next week or in a few months. It's going to take some serious time in waiting. Will your house and whatever you're building, it doesn't have to be a ministry in Guatemala, but whatever you're building in the name of Jesus, is it going to withstand the pass of time, the rain, and is it going to at the end bring forth good fruit? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherever by their fruits ye shall know them. Have you ever stepped back and watched a person's fruits? I mean, he is so convinced about what he's doing, about his work, and how hard he does things, and how much he spends the time putting effort into this project. In the name of ministry or otherwise, have you ever stepped back and said, well, maybe he's so convinced about it, let's step back and give it some time? Well, time is a good test for each one of us. Time will tell. And time does tell. Rain, we can put up with it for a while, but eventually if our ceiling is leaking, we're gonna burst into tears. It's gonna collapse. How about the floods that Jesus said? You hear rain, floods, and winds. Well, what about the floods of trials? Trials are a tremendous test of our work. Floods are like trials. Trials will test any man's work. Their force and their strength will not be deceived as to the strength of the building. The winds, the floods just come and hit hard. That's a test. They don't ask permission. They're not deceived by the looks of the building. They just come and hit. And if it stands, good. If it's not, too bad. The floods of trials. 1 Corinthians 3:13. Why don't you go there with me a few verses? 1 Corinthians 3:13. Says every man's work. There yet? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive what? A reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The first thing is rain, the time. The second thing is floods of trials. Finally, the wind, says the Lord Jesus, came against that house, those houses. He wrote, the winds of eternity. Matthew 6, go back one chapter. Matthew 6, 17 says, moreover, when ye fast, there's a work, fasting. Fasting can be done the right way, and it can be done the wrong way. It cannot be both. If you fast, this is your fasting break. You cannot put it here and here. There's one place where you're going to put it. And you better put it in a place that will last, that will, you're fasting, you're praying, your alms will do something. Not just stand there and fall at the end of your life. But you want every single one of those things to withstand the winds of eternity also. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's it. That's as far as that fasting goes. It's rewarded right there and then. When people look at you and say, poor guy, or what a faithful guy, or what a good guy, or what a godly man, that's it. That's why the Christian goes out of his way to hide, to be alone with the Lord, and to do what he does, where only God can pierce. Where only God knows. But thou, when thou fastest, verse 17, anoint thine head. If you don't like taking showers, well, take shower that day at least, so that nobody knows. Nobody even gets a hint of what you're doing. But you go out of your way to hide and to pretend that everything is fine and that your belly is full and you just had the best meal ever. But unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And this is the marvel of all this. The Christian that knows his Savior intimately and without the need that anybody would see it, without a need in the world that others will think good of him, that is a person that God chooses to lift up, to put over and not under, to put in front and not behind. Because he knows that his godliness, his piety is real. If you are able to pray in secret, if you're able to fast in secret, if you're able to serve in secret, if you're able to give in secret, if you're able to witness in secret, if you're able to read your Bible in secret, then you have a reward for you. A reward that nobody else can see except the Heavenly Father. A Father who, by the way, is able to do way more than you and I can imagine, and that rewards faithfully, that doesn't underestimate your efforts, that sees your heart, and that is not bedazzled by all the fluff. Lay not, the verse continues, verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Why would you want to do that? And where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal or exist, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I can't think of a better way to put that. Where are you building? Where are you putting these valuable SUVs? Sandy soil? Or a soil that will last for eternity? I have one more thing to show the kids. I guess I should have shown this earlier, but you want to know the key for building upon a solid foundation, for building something that will last? I want one of the kids to open this. Jonathan. This is a top secret envelope, and I want you to open it, and you're going to show it to us. Okay? You can turn that way so I can see you. Thanks. Well, the top secret key is the word secret. Thanks, Jonathan. You can keep that. It's a gift. But secret, I guess it's no secret that the secret is secret. But what I just said earlier, the Christian goes out of his way to be in front of his Savior one and one, and to let him be the rewarder of his work. He refuses to accept the fellowship with the world, the acceptance of the Egyptians. He refuses to be cheered on by the world or even by churchgoers. He refuses that. Why would I want you to praise me when all you're going to accomplish is making me lose the reward? And I want to tell you, what is this reward? Reward, reward, reward. Some people are so concerned about this reward in heaven. There's no greater reward than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our greatest reward. Even if He wants me to pray in secret so that I could see Him and know Him in a more deeper way here on earth and there in heaven, I will do that. That's what I want. He is who I want. I don't want to be the preeminent missionary or preacher or whatever else that is going to make me lose everything all of a sudden. I don't want that. You know, I would be very happy with the smile of my Savior when I come home. This is very good, faithful servant. What else do we want? Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound the trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And Matthew 6:6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And verse 17, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I'll wrap it up. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of men. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Christ Himself is what we're aiming for. There's no some reward in heaven, some jewel so pricey, so big a pearl that we're going to aim for. But it's Jesus Christ Himself. In Philippians 3:10, the Apostle Paul puts it this way, that I may... Why do you do this, Paul? Why are you going through all this? Why are you choosing affliction and do not be rewarded by this world? Why, Paul? Why? And Paul says, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. That's enough. But one day I'll behold His face. That's what I want. If there is any crowns involved, all I want to do is throw them at His feet. That's all they're good for. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's my goal, that's my purpose. Nothing else but Jesus will satisfy my longings. And I don't want to build something that displeases my Savior and that will burn at the last day. But I want to build in such a way, with every action and every thought and every word, things that will last for eternity. I hope you want the same too. Run away. Flee from earthly rewarding, lest you lose the best to come. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So says, Paul says, not only I want to see Him face to face, but I look forward to the day that I'll be turned, made into His image for the first time, restored that lost image of God in me, that I may know Him. That I may know Him. Where are your bricks going? Good question to ask ourselves today. Are they going on the fluff of this world? Are they going to yourself? You think you're doing something, but really it's all going to yourself and you are the reward. Or are they going to pleasing man? Or are they going... What's the other thing I said? To gaining riches. Wherever these three places are going, they're not going to the rewarder of the Lord and the Father which is in heaven. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we are so thankful for your word and for the teaching, the astonishing teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. One having authority. I pray that each one of us would keep in mind the way that the Lord has traced the path to building on the solid rock, to building for eternity. Don't let us spin our wheels on our lifetime, but let us consider how to build wisely, that our works will be true, will be honest, will be timeless. Bless the rest of the service and each one of us with that desire to please you and you alone all the days of our lives. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.